children, you may be dismissed to your class. Appreciate that song that was just sung. That really is the key to serving the Lord. We have to have a heart for God. And if we don't have a heart for God, then we're going to have a difficult time serving God. So I appreciate that focus. So open up our Bible this morning to Romans chapter 1. If you haven't already closed your Bible, you can open up there again. Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to be focusing this morning. You know, as we begin this morning, I want us to consider this thought. You know, have you ever felt embarrassed to pray in public, let's say at a restaurant, or to speak about and speak up and object when someone curses God or takes God's name in vain? Maybe to share your testimony with someone that you knew needed to hear the gospel. I have. And I suspect that probably most all of us would say, yes, we've been there. There's times when we feel embarrassed to speak up for Christ. And this is nothing new. We find way back in the scriptures that Peter, when he vowed to the Lord, "Lord, I will never deny you." And yet he did. He was ashamed of Christ when the pressure was on. I asked myself the question, I wonder if Paul ever went through that. Apostle Paul was an amazing man. He was a courageous man, a man who faced many oppositions and was faithful to the Lord. And here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, notice the words Paul gives us here. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And we know the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to be talking some more about that this morning. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." How can we gain that solid resolve? Say, "I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel." Think about those times when you felt shame in your heart for speaking out for Christ. Or sometimes it's fear, probably as much as if not more than times of shame. We feel fear. I need to speak out, but I'm afraid. And I'm ashamed to speak out. How can we get this resolve that Paul had to say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel"? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, how can we overcome our shame for the gospel? And here in this passage, I want to point out three truths that Paul gives us here that I think can be a help to us. Things that are obvious, things that we already know, but maybe things that we need to refocus our hearts on and be able to get a grip on this morning. Number one is this. It is good news about Christ. Did you see that? He says that, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The message that we're sharing with others is not just religion. It is not just about a human prophet. You know, there's a lot of cults out there that are promoting their prophets. It's not about a human prophet. It's not about a vision that we saw. It's not about an organization that we're promoting. It's not even about our church. It's about a person, Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel is that good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again to give us life. And that's something we can share with all people. There are people all over the world that are longing to hear the gospel of Christ. Maybe in their heart they don't know that's what they're looking for, but they know that there's something missing, there's a need in their hearts. You know, folks, there's people all around us right here. I'm glad that the American flag is at the forefront of the flags here. Our nation's in trouble. We all know that. The people around us are in trouble. There's a great need for the gospel. And we can find opportunities to share the gospel with them. Just recently, when Melody and I were on our way back from Australia, we're praying that the Lord would give us opportunities to witness along the way. And on the flight from L.A. to Chicago, I was sitting next to a lady that was, she was from the Philippines. She said she was 80 years old. Didn't look it, but she said she was 80. And I, as we were going on with the flight, I was praying, saying, Lord, now how can I work the gospel into a conversation here with her? And she, before long, she pulled out her rosary beads, and she was going through her little prayers. And when she got all done, I said, what did you do that for? And she said, oh, I'm praying. Praying to the saints, praying to Mary, you know, doing my prayers. And I asked her, I said, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? She said, oh, no, I don't know that. I said, well, the Bible tells you you can know. And she said, well, I don't know anything about the Bible. My church doesn't talk about the Bible. I don't know anything about the Bible. And so I had the privilege of taking my phone, opening up my Bible app, and for about 20 minutes, I shared with her every gospel verse I could think of off the top of my head to share with her about Christ. We went through the gospel with her. And she listened attentively. I wish I could say that she trusted Christ, but she listened attentively. And when I got all done, she said, I've been your student today. The reason she said that is she had been for years a professor in the university teaching nursing. She's a very educated woman, but didn't know anything about Christ. You know, there's a lot of people in our world just like her. All over the world, but even in our country, many who need Jesus Christ. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. And Jesus came into this world as a man, the God-man, to give us the opportunity to be saved. We read over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, came to this earth and took upon himself a human form to be able to provide an eternal salvation for us. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. And therefore, we should not be ashamed of it. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about your church. It's not about an organization. It's about Christ. The God of the universe, the creator of all things. It's about him. And therefore, we have no reason to be ashamed of the gospel. This is good news, and it has a specific purpose. And that specific purpose, Christ said he came to save sinners. John chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus said, God sent his son, not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so when we think about sharing the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the gospel of Christ. It's about the God who came to this earth and became a man to give me eternal life. That is something we can be rejoicing in, something we can praise God in. It's not just some human that's laying in a grave or some religion or some prophet that had some vision. It's Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. Said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Christ provided salvation from hell that we might have eternal life with him in heaven. That is a glorious truth, something that we need to not be ashamed about. But there's a second truth that we find here that gives us evidence that we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that is, it says there, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That is so significant because we have a huge problem. Every one of us have a huge problem. You know, many times when I'm sharing the gospel with people, I'll say to them, you know, I don't know you at all. I've never met you in my life. I don't know anything about you, but I know that we have one thing in common. We're both sinners. Only one time have I ever had a person come back to me and said, I'm not a sinner. Don't call me a sinner. I thought, oh, that's going to be an interesting conversation. And it was. But who most artists and most people you meet are willing to say, all right, yes, I've done wrong. I do have an issue there. We're not perfect. And God tells us, because he is the creator of the universe and he is absolutely holy, that our sin separates us from God. You know, you look at the Ten Commandments of the Bible. And there are lots and lots of commandments in the Bible. But God gave us these ten to help us to see that we can't even keep those. You know, there's not a person in this room has ever kept all ten of those commandments. We fail. Even the very first one, to put God first in every single thing that we do. I mean, we might work hard on a Sunday and make it through a Sunday and maybe put God first. But he's talking about a lifetime. And there's the, you look down to the list, you know, obeying our parents. We all struggled with that. Lying, cheating, stealing, coveting, adultery. You know, the list condemns us. And that's just a small list of the things that God says are wrong. And so we have a problem. And this is why Jesus Christ came to this world. We're guilty before God. I remember one time when I was in Bible college, I went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College in the 70s, and I worked in the kitchen, and one of my jobs was to keep the walk-in freezer and fridges all clean and tidy and organized and get the food out for the cooks. And in the walk-in freezer, there was a big tub of ice cream. They didn't serve it very often, but occasionally they got it out. And one day I thought, it's so hot outside, and that looks so good. And I opened up the lid and stuck my finger down there and got a scoop of ice cream out. And as soon as I did, the Lord convicted my heart. That was not right. You stole that ice cream. And I tried pushing it off and saying, well, making excuses like we all do. But it didn't work. Lord didn't leave me alone. And I thought, oh boy, I got problems now. I'm going to have to go talk to my supervisor and tell him what I did and ask him for forgiveness. And as I thought on that, I thought, you know, I might get kicked out of school. I mean, this might be the end of my career. But I said, I have to do it. And I remember walking very nervously down the hall to his door, knocked on the door. And he welcomed me in, and I came and sat down, and he asked what I needed. And I very nervously said, told him what I had done, and asked him if he would forgive me. And he said, I forgive you. Those are the greatest words you can hear when you're guilty. I forgive you. And Jesus Christ came in this world to forgive us of our sin. That's why he came, because he loved us enough. We have a huge problem, and our problem is our sin. James chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us that for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. You may be a good person. You may be trying your best to be all that you ought to be, but if you fail one single thing, God says you are guilty of all. And we come up short. Romans 6:23 adds to that and says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a major problem. Good news offsets the bad news. That's what makes it good news. If you were to go to the doctor this week, and the doctor said, you know, you've got some issues here we need to look into. And there's some spots that I need to take a biopsy of. And he takes that biopsy and sends it off to the lab. That's not very good news. That's bad news. That something was wrong that required a biopsy. But if that report comes back and it says, all clear, no problem, that's good news. That's good news. And when God looks at us, he looks down at us and says, they're sinners, but I love them. And I don't want them to die and go to hell. I don't want them separated from me forever. That's bad news, that we are sinners and separated from God. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth to pay the debt of my sin, to set me free, to set you free. And that is something we can offer to all people. We can tell them Jesus loves you and died for you and paid for your sin. That is good news. And he reminds us of this. The gospel, he said, is the power of God. God has given divine power to the gospel to save souls from hell. That is very good news. Jesus lived a perfect life, died a terrible Roman crucifixion death to pay the debt of my sin and the debt of yours. I can't really comprehend how God could pay the debt of all of my sin and all of your sin. But he did. He took my eternal damnation in hell and paid for it completely. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to pay for it. I receive it freely. It is a divine gift from God, the power of God to save us. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to this earth to give us life, abundant life. Not only eternal life, but life right now so that we can live for his glory. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves me. And he loves everyone around us. And he's telling us, we have a message. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God that can save their souls from hell. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, as he thought about his sinfulness and God's great love, he said, for this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Paul looked back over his life. Didn't have a very good record. And from a religious perspective, he had high credentials. He was a Pharisee. He was well educated. He was very highly esteemed among the religious people. But he knew in his heart that he had been involved in capturing and persecuting and testifying against and killing multitudes of Christians. And he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. And folks, the truth of the matter is, we're all guilty, just like Paul. We've not killed other Christians, but we're guilty, just like Paul. And Paul knew that there was a great need there, but he saw that there was a power of God salvation. No human power can save. No matter how hard we try to be good, no matter how hard we try to be all we ought to be, we cannot fix our sin. We tell a lie today, and tomorrow we are as good as an angel all day long. It doesn't change the lie. It won't fix the lie. There's nothing we can do to fix it by being good. And that's why God tells us there in Ephesians 2, 8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot fix our sin problem. But Jesus Christ came to do that for us. God has given the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's given the gospel, the power of God, unto salvation, to save sinners from hell. That is a wonderful truth. That just realizing that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, and trusting that as our salvation, can save our soul from an eternal damnation in hell. That's wonderful good news. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, and after all he's done for us, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Perhaps you know that little chorus that we often sing in our church services back in Australia. After all he's done for me, after all he's done for me, how can I be less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? That was Paul's heartbeat He says, I cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel about Jesus Christ. But Paul goes on and he tells us that not only is it the gospel of Jesus Christ, that ought to motivate us not to be ashamed of it, because it's not about us, it's not about our church, it's about the Lord of heaven. But he says, it's also the power of God that can rescue us and deliver us. But then he tells us another thing, and he says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. He said it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. God offers the gospel, salvation, through faith in Christ, all who believe. Jesus paid the debt of sin in full for every human. However, this payment will not be applied to every person's account. He placed a condition on his payment. What was that condition? The condition is faith. He says this to everyone that believeth. You're here this morning and you may know all about the Bible and all about God, but if you've never put your faith in Christ, you've never trusted Him as your Savior, it doesn't apply. It won't help you until you put your faith in Christ. We read in Acts 16:31, as remember Paul and Silas were in prison. They had been preaching the gospel there in Philippi and were taken captive, beaten, thrown into prison. God sent a great earthquake that night. And as the jailer came in and spoke with Paul, what were those words that came from his mouth? He said, what must I do to be saved? And what did Paul say? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in the house. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on Christ is not just believing about Christ or believing that He exists. Is believing on Him to save us. Let me illustrate. I have never had any inclination whatsoever to go up in an airplane and jump out with a parachute. That's never been an exciting thought to me. I prefer staying on the ground. I appreciate those that fly. I'm thankful that I don't have to take a boat across the ocean to get to Australia. I'm glad for airplanes, but I prefer staying on the ground, and I certainly have no desire to jump up. Now, maybe some of you have. That's fine. But, you know, if you took out a parachute, I could take that parachute and look at it and say, you know, I believe this parachute is able to protect me and keep me from crashing to the ground. I believe that. And you could put it on and say, it's strong. I think it'll do the job. It fits. And others have done it. I think it'll work. You can believe all you want about that parachute, but until you actually jump and trust it and pull a cord, you have not put your trust on that parachute. And so it is with Jesus Christ. You can know about Christ. You know, there are people I meet that know the truth of the gospel. I met a man once that I went through the gospel with him, and I shared, and he said, yeah, I believe that. I knew in my heart this man didn't know the Lord as his Savior, because I could tell from the various things that he had said to me. But he said he agreed with all the gospel parts. And then I started asking him about things of works and prayer and things of that nature. And, oh, yeah, he says, you can't throw out that. You know, you've got to do your good works. You've got to say your prayers. And, you know, all that. And see, he was trusting other things besides Jesus Christ alone. Perhaps you're here today, you're trusting something other than Jesus Christ or something with Jesus Christ. You know, it isn't Jesus plus my good works or Jesus plus my baptism or Jesus plus communion or Jesus plus my church membership. It's Jesus only. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. He said, it's for those who will believe. You cannot believe on Christ without repenting. I know there are some that say it's just belief, it's not repentance. But folks, I challenge you, you cannot believe without repenting. Because until you realize I have a problem and I am wrong, You cannot believe on this salvation that will rescue you. There's no reason to believe on something to rescue you if you don't have a problem. So there has to be, I am guilty, I have a problem, and I can't fix my problem. And therefore, I need God's salvation. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Unless there's a change of heart and a change of mind, and we say, I am wrong, God is right. I am guilty, God is innocent. We cannot trust his salvation. So Jesus said here, or Paul said here, that it is for all those who will believe on Christ and put their faith and trust in him to save their soul. Sadly, all who neglect to obey the gospel or to refuse to obey the gospel will have to pay for their own sins. I think some of the saddest verses or most terrifying verses in the whole Bible are found in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, and 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 says this, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will have to pay for their own sin. That's tragic. And as we think on that this morning, this is a very important part of what we're looking at here, because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's about Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it is for everyone who believes. Sadly, we live in a world that many do not believe. Remember that in Romans chapter 10, where the scriptures tell us there in Romans 10, down to verse number 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? What is God telling us here? He said they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. And here we are, we see that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know that there's a need. I know that there's a burden. I know that people need Christ. And I'm not ashamed to tell them the way of salvation, but that which will give them the good news of Jesus Christ. Never forget that the gospel is the power of God that saves. It's the gospel that is the power of God that saves. He says it is both for the Jew and to the Greek. I'm so glad that God put that in there. If the gospel were only for the Jews, there wouldn't be too many in the room today that would be saved. I don't know how many of you are Jewish, but most of us aren't. But not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile, to the Greeks, all of us can be saved. And he said it is for everyone. God loves the human race. That's why we can read there in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should go to hell. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank God that he offers the gospel to everyone. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the scriptures tell us that who will have all men to be saved and come under the knowledge of the truth. God wants everyone to be saved. That means that you can go to any person you meet on the street, anywhere in the world, and say, God loves you, God sent his son to die for you, and he wants you to go to heaven. God is not willing that you perish and go to hell. That is not God's desire. Two verses later there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for me. He gave himself a ransom for you. to rescue us, to deliver us, to set us free. And that is a wonderful truth. When we were in L.A., we spent the night in L.A. after the long flight from Perth to Sydney and then Sydney to L.A. We usually spend a night there in L.A., and our flights this time, you know, required that we be at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch the flight to come to Chicago. And the motel that we stayed in, they said, well, we're really sorry, but we don't have a shuttle bus that starts until 5 o'clock in the morning, so you're going to have to get an Uber driver to take you to the airport. I said, well, that's fine. Okay. So we got this driver organized to pick us up, and he came and picked us up, and one look at him, he was a real rough-looking fella. I mean, real rough-looking fella. And I thought, this is not going to be an easy one to try to witness to, and I will have 10 minutes. Right, before we get to the airport. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me now. I want to be able to share the gospel with this fellow. And I started talking with him, and at first, you know, he just kind of tried to change the subject and didn't want to talk. But I kept changing and working around it, and I was able to share the gospel with him. And at the end, he started opening up, and he was interested. And I was able to go through the gospel clearly with him. When we got all done, and he was unloading the bags, and we're ready to take off, I handed him a tract. And he said, thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you. You know, folks, everyone needs the gospel. Everyone look like a hard person. As I share that with you, the Lord just convicted my heart. Yesterday I was in a Walmart, and I had to take something back, and I spoke to the lady in the service department. She was all covered with tattoos and a real rough-looking type of a person. And I walked off and I didn't give her a track. I was ashamed of the gospel. We've all done it. We're all guilty many times. I don't know whether that woman would have taken a track or not, but I didn't give her an opportunity. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is something that each of us wrestle with. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you wrestle with this. Sometimes we just push it off and say, that's not for me. I'm not a talker. I can't talk to people. That doesn't give us an excuse. That doesn't wash our hands clean. We have a message. We have this message of the gospel, the power of God that saves us. We have put our faith in Christ. We have a message that they need. Many of us know people that have never placed their trust on Christ. They may be depending on religion or their good deeds or their good works. They may say, nah, I'm not interested at all. You know, a lot of the Australian people, you try to talk to them about Christ and say, listen, mate, I'm not the least bit interested in that stuff. Go away and leave me alone. And, you know, there's people around here that would say the same thing. But then there's others that will say, thank you, I appreciate that. I'll have a read, I'll give it some thought, thank you. We may never know what that little gospel tract we hand out will do. We may never know until heaven whether we've reached someone through that. What a joy that will be when we get to glory and have people come up to us and say, thank you. I said, thank you for what? Thank you for giving me that paper. You remember? I don't remember. Well, thank you. You did. You gave me a little paper to tell me about Christ, and I put my faith in Him. What a joy. That would be wonderful, folks. And we can all get involved. It's not that complicated. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to share it boldly because it is a gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation. And it is for everyone who will believe. It's for everyone if they'll put their trust in Him. I'm sure that each one of us has family, and friends, and neighbors, and acquaintances, and workmates that don't know Jesus. They need to hear. And the closer the home gets, the harder it is. We all know that. It's the hardest people in the world to tell about Jesus, those that are the closest to you. Maybe it's because they know us. That's probably part of it. But we feel ashamed many times. We ought not to feel ashamed. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Many of you here, especially those of you who are older like my wife and I are, you have grandchildren. I've never met a grandparent that you ask them if they, you know, tell me about your grandkids. They said, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Now, they're quick to pull out the pictures and show them and tell you all about them. Why? They're not ashamed. I got these great grandkids. And yet we have something far more precious than grandkids. We've got the message of the gospel that can keep people out of hell for all eternity. And so many times we're ashamed of it. And I trust that this morning God will help us to see. This is not something we don't know. If you come here to church for even a couple of weeks, you've heard things like this. You know what I'm talking about. But all of us struggle because it's not easy. All of us feel intimidated. Every time, I remember a time I take my dog for a walk each morning. I was walking across the park, and the other side of the park, I was praying as I was walking. I said, Lord, show me somebody that I can share the gospel with this morning. And I saw a guy across the park sitting on a bench, and I could tell even from the distance that he was a homeless beggar type of a fellow. He had his backpack there, and he had all the signs of that type of a person. And I thought, I just don't want to go talk to him. And the Spirit of God kept saying, come on, go talk to him. I said, I don't want to. And I walked past him and kept on my walk, and I circled back around, and I was headed back for home. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm sorry. If he's still there, I'll talk to him. Sure enough, he was still there. So I walked over to him, and I shared the gospel with him. And he was tender enough to listen, and I was able to talk to him for about 15 or 20 minutes and go through the gospel with him. He sat there nervously, rolling his cigarettes and smoking one after another while I was talking to him, but he listened. So glad that I answered God's conviction in my heart. Folks, we can do it. We ought not to be ashamed of the gospel. And I've already shared with you examples of how I have been. So I'm not holding myself up as a spotless example and say, be like me. I'm saying we can all do it. But we all struggle. And Paul here was saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I say, how could Paul say that? I mean, yes, I'm not ashamed of it, but I sometimes act like I am. Paul said, I'm not ashamed because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed because it is the power of God and the salvation. I'm not ashamed because it is for everybody. All they have to do is believe, and they can be saved. That is good news. I'm not ashamed of that. Someone wisely stated, the gospel is only good news if it reaches the lost in time. And that is very true. The gospel is only good news. This is the way we've turned. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is for everyone, but it's only good news if it reaches them in time. If it doesn't reach them in time and they die without Christ, it hasn't helped them in a bit. And so this morning, as you look in your own heart, I challenge you to consider, have you been ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Do you regularly take tracts and pass them out? Look for opportunities. You know, sometimes we wait until the opportunity is right in our face, and we say, oh, I should witness to them, but I'm not armed. I don't have any tracts. I don't have anything. We've got to be prepared. Got to keep tracts in our pocket or up your purse if you're a lady. And be ready, be looking, and be praying. God, would you give me an opportunity today to share the gospel with someone? I want to be able to share the gospel. And folks, I can tell you the honest truth, it's exciting when you do. It really is. Even if they don't respond, even if they reject it, you can still go away saying, thank you, Lord, I had the courage to do what you told me to do, and I obeyed you. And they now have an opportunity to think on that. You know, there are times when people reject it. They don't want it. They may get upset with you. But when that happens, you know, the devil wants us to feel like we did something wrong. We didn't do anything wrong. We've done what God wants us to do. And God says, that's what I want. That's what will reach the world for me. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never received the gospel of Christ. My friend, that's what you need. We're all in the same situation. We're all guilty sinners. And if you've never humbled yourself and admitted that you're a guilty sinner and headed for hell and in need of Jesus Christ, that's what you need to. It's humbling. It's humiliating. But God says, if you will humble yourself before me, I will give you eternal life if you put your trust in me. It's not difficult. And I urge you, in a few moments, Pastor will come and give you an opportunity to respond. You can come and receive Jesus Christ today. And it will be the most glorious day in your life. God changes your life from the inside out and gives you a new life in Christ. That's what the gospel is all about. It is good news. And for those of us who know Jesus as our Savior, may today be the day that we say, by God's grace, I'm going to work diligently not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Will you do it? Will you ask God that? We will fail. I failed yesterday. But God can help us and strengthen us. And there's a great need out in our world. Not only in America, but all around the world, there's need for the gospel. And God's asking us to fulfill His great commission and go tell Him the gospel, the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and rose.